Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for March 31st. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me running the cyber bases again is Jim Allen. What's happening, dude?
Running bases. I did run today, actually.
Really?
I was running to the supermarket, actually, but I sprinted a bit, which tells you how good my left ankle feels that had tendonitis a few years ago. It felt really, really good.
Yes, my friend, but running and running errands are different, so I think we're going to count that out.
but it was like the bases, you know. I probably ran about halfway around the bases.
Yeah, you're out. You're out.
Okay, I was out.
You're out. All right, well, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Hanshin hitting coach Tom O'Malley, and we're going to discuss the first weekend of games, so let's get started.
Ring the bases!
All right, so this year, as I said, I mentioned last week on the show that I wanted to do some trivia, and I brought a trivia question that I saw on TV.
Oh, no!
I have it for you, Mr. Allen, and you can stump me anytime, buddy. Bring anything you want to the show, and we are always inviting the listeners as well to send in some questions. So my question to you, and you might know this.
I hope I know it. I also look bad.
All right, well, who was the oldest opening day starter in NPB?
Wow. You mean a starting any position player?
Starting pitcher. I mean, you know, when we say opening day starter, we usually talk about the pitcher. So opening day starter on the mound. How's that?
Wow. I don't really, to be honest, I wouldn't really know. I don't think it was my man Shinji Hamazaki, because he was essentially a relief pitcher at the end of his career.
That is incorrect. Yeah.
And oldest opening day starter. I'm inclined to say Yoshinori Sato.
Oh no, not that.
The current Rakuten Eagles pitching coach.
Oh, okay, a different Yoshinori Sato. No, it was not him. It was Yutaka Ono of the Hiroshima Carp, who was 42 years and 7 months in 1998 when he started a game, and that's according to the TV program Nail Sports.
Wow, very good. Good one, John.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I like that, yeah. All right, so this week we have an interview with Tom O'Malley. I went out to the Big Egg on Friday on opening day, and I remember Tom O'Malley most for beating my Dodgers in a game a long, long time ago when he was a member of the San Francisco Giants. And I think it was,
I remember
this game, and I remember listening to it on the radio, and Vin Scully, the great Vin Scully, pointing out that a guy named O'Malley, because remember the O'Malley family owned the Dodgers back then.
Right.
And he says a guy named O'Malley hands the Dodgers a loss, and I'm like, I hate this guy, you know, when I was a kid. And little did I know, I mean, I came to Japan in 1990. I got here first, so he followed me over, I contend. And that was the biggest thing I remembered about him before then. And then I remember when he came to Japan, and obviously when he played with the Tigers, and I recall him having good numbers in 1995 and being the MVP of the Central League with some numbers that weren't all that fantastic, but.
Well, that was probably his worst season was 1996 when he was the MVP.
I thought it was 1995.
Excuse me, 95.
Okay.
96 was the year he was let go 2 years after being an MVP, but. Or a year after being an MVP. Yeah, 95. No, it was fine. His numbers were fine.
Yeah, they were.
But you have to pick somebody off the winning team. You know how the rules go.
I know how it goes, man. We've seen it. We've seen the beauty of it, and we've seen the dark side of it, I think. Mostly the dark side in recent years. But
the dark side.
I remember he was the MVP of the Japan Series, and he won a batting title in 1993, but he didn't win any home run titles or any RBI titles or anything like that. He was just a really steady player. And I remember him for being that.
Yeah. And he got on base like crazy, which was undervalued more than it is now.
Right, definitely in the 90s, especially for a foreign player who, and you'll hear him talk about the fact that in that era they were just looking for power guys mostly, and they looked for guys who could drive the ball either over the fence or at least to the gaps on a regular basis. So it wasn't like they were looking for guys who were taking walks.
Well, I mean, that wasn't his whole game. Basically, he was a 300 hitter who took a lot of walks. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the 400 on base percentage was pretty much a standard with him.
Yep.
But he was always Yeah, he was a very good player. And the funny thing is that, you know, a year removed from his MVP season, the Swallows dropped him like he was radioactive. It was like, whoa, we don't need you. And they started making excuses that he was making extravagant contract demands. And I still don't know the truth there. He said, no, it wasn't anything like that. And I believe it wasn't anything like that. It was something else. And I think that's, I'm going to get into one of the things when we talk about his interview. So.
Okay. Well, he took a few minutes before the opener while the players were stretching on the field and getting ready. And we thank him for that. So let's listen to the quick chat.
All right, our guest this week is Tom O'Malley. We're really glad to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be back in Japan.
Great having you. How did you end up coming back and joining Hanshin as a coach?
Well, I always kept in touch with management people here and was scouting there for a long time and bringing players over and just so happened to work out this year. There was a good opportunity, and with Wada-san, I was a hitting coach along with him in 2002 and 2003, and the timing was right, so he asked if I could come over, and it worked out.
Good. Now, what are some of the differences that you see in the players and the game that have changed since the time that you played?
Well, I know one thing, that the Giants never played any day games, that's for sure. So, I mean, I don't know how long, probably 5-6 years ago, but, you know, now maybe satellite and has changed some things, and cable TV, but that's one of the changes right there. But, you know, so they've lost some of their better players, but still, the popularity remains, and it's good to see, and hopefully we can help the Tigers this year.
What about some of the players? How have they changed?
I think typically, they don't have a lot of power hitters, but, there's a lot of quality players, a lot of guys that, impact players. I think one of the younger guys on our team, Imanari, is a guy that I like. He's got real good bat control, younger hitter, and I think he could have a good year for us, so hopefully that'll be the case. But it's always a little different style, but basically you got to throw the ball over the plate and you got to be able to hit the ball. So, but looking forward to the season and excited about opening day here.
Would you say some of the players when you played here have about the same amount of power as the Japanese players, or has the power increased, you think, since?
It seemed like, that there was, and I'm not just saying it partially, but it seemed like there was better foreign players at that time. Seems like now more foreign players are playing with different teams and more of them. But that to me was a little bit of a difference. I mean, there's a lot of really good foreign players, but just, not the amount of them. So, but I think, there's a lot of quality players, and it's good to see guys that are coming over playing in the major leagues and making an impact.
Now, who's a player on the Hanshin team, maybe on the farm, or who's come up, who's on the roster for opening day, who we might not know, who's going to make a name for himself this year, besides Imanari?
Imanari. The rest of the guy, Yamato, you're familiar with his name, center fielder.
Yep.
And hopefully, Matt Merton will continue to be Mr. Consistency there, and Mara Gomez, the other foreign player, hopefully he, it's always a difficult transition the first year, but hopefully he'll be able to, we can educate him as much as possible, and he'll be able to get off to a good start here.
Now, this group a season ago had Jason Standridge as a starting pitcher, and it still finished 12 and a half games behind the Giants in the standings. Now, what, I know it's opening day and everybody's very positive and everything, but what's the difference between this team last year and this year that's going to help make up that 12-game difference?
Well, we struggled offensively, and I think, by adding a Gomez and hopefully, staying healthy with some of the other guys, and, I think the expectations are that, guys like Nishioka and Tori Tani and the core players, need to do a little better, and hopefully we can get Fukudome to stay healthy and to have a good consistent year. So I think offensively we need to do better, and we ended up shoring up the back end of the bullpen,
right,
with the Korean Oh-sun, but we did lose a quality starter in Jason Standridge, but hopefully we score more runs and take some pressure off the pitching and the defense.
Okay, now how good is Shintaro Fujinami going to be this year and looking forward?
Well, he's definitely got a great arm. He's a quality pitcher. I think, you know, once he learns how to pitch a little more, right now he's still, you know, basically a thrower. And he needs to come up with like a real off-speed pitch, a slow curve or something. But he's got a lot of quality pitches, great arm, and looking for exciting things this year from him.
Now, you've had a long and deep relationship with Japan and Japanese baseball. What's the memory that comes to mind first when you look back, and why?
I think the memory is playing in a Japan series and winning a Japan series with the Swallows, but a lot of great memories here. You know, obviously, you know, each day was a new memory and great memory. And, you know, it's like I say, it's kind of come full circle. We're able to come back and, you know, hopefully this leads to something else, or we'll see what happens.
All right. Good luck.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks
appreciate
for your time.
It. You got it. No problem.
Okay, thank you very much again, Tom O'Malley. Like I said, it was my first time meeting him, so I had never talked to him before or anything, and we appreciate him taking the time and everything. I didn't push him on the answers. You know, I was trying to ask him these questions, but it seemed like he had maybe not necessarily a pat answer, but it sounded like he just didn't want to get into anything controversial or name anything in particular. But it was still good talking to him, and I appreciate his time right before the game like that, because that was the opener of the season.
Well, I'm glad you did that, because I was up at Cebu Dome that day, and it was hard talking to players on the day. You know, I spoke briefly with Cody Ransom. I didn't get a chance. I wanted to talk to Andrew Jones and to Kevin Euclid, but, you know, all I could pretty much do was say hi, because it's opening day. We've got a meeting.
Right.
I think they had the owner gave him a speech or something. Make me some more money, said Meek Tunney.
We didn't get enough money and we're missing Makun, so you guys make us more money.
Or whatever he said. I saw him after the game. I have to wonder, you know, when the owner's there at the games, you know, the reporters run after him looking for a quote for the paper. But you know, and I understand that, because the owner might say something. But what in the world would make you think, you know, unless the owner's saying I'm selling the team or I'm doing this or I'm making some drastic change. You know, what can the owners possibly say on opening day that's worth a paragraph in a newspaper?
You know, good game.
Just something that other papers don't have, I suppose. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask, I guess, is the old.
Of course, all the papers have it, because they all sent one guy chasing after me, Tommy.
Yeah.
Who probably doesn't need more money.
Not personally. So, yeah, about the interviews, I mean, it's interesting. He said he was so glad to be back. And, you know, I thought about it, and it's good to have a foreign player come back and be a coach here in Japan. I wish more guys would do it. You know, it'd be really nice to have guys like Roberto Pettigini. I know he's not a big talker, but to have him or Orestes Destrade or Randy Bass or Alonzo Powell, guys like that who had some success here and would really be respected. You know, it'd be good to see them come back and coach. I think it'd be good for the team.
Yeah, we haven't had too many guys came back. I know Tom Robson, who was Bobby Valentine's hitting coach the first time, and stayed on with the Marines. The Marines did a thing in 1995 when they fired Valentine. They wanted to show that it wasn't a racist thing, so they kept all his coaches. And they kept Tom Robson, who was and then later went on to coach at the Mets. But Tom Robson had played briefly with the Nankai Hawks, and of course we had Leon Lee back a couple of years ago, coached and then managed briefly. And yeah, we've had a few guys, but not enough. And
yeah.
Tom had been coaching with the Tigers, and he was in line to be a coach in Wada's first season, which was 2 years ago.
Right.
But apparently Wada, according to Tom, Tom told me last year that Wada had only one choice to be on his coaching staff, and he had already booked that with Koichi Sekikawa, their former teammate.
Right.
So anyway, so that was out. But I'm so glad to see him back, because he's as smart as a whip, and I could sit and listen to him talk about hitting all day.
Yeah.
Well, I never get any work done.
What stood out for you in the interview?
Well, I think the thing with Tom, I think, you know, I think, the, well, it's actually some good questions, first of all. I would have to disagree with the idea that the foreign players were better than when he was playing, which is, it sounded like he was saying, although I understand what he's saying because the system was different.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
When he was here, you had two players.
Yeah, there were fewer of them, so they had to be better in that respect because you had to get really good players. You couldn't waste any time with guys who were not, in theory, you couldn't waste any time with guys who were not productive, but in reality, they had a lot of guys who weren't productive.
Yeah, I remember the Dragons not wasting their time with a guy who wasn't productive named Matt Stairs. And, yeah. You know, he never did nothing.
Well, you know, he really wasn't that productive with them.
But, yeah, well, they also wasted a little time with a guy who wasn't productive named Ralph Bryant and traded him to the Buffaloes where he went on to hit about 300 home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I'm not to pick on the Dragons. Not yet anyway, give me a few minutes. But what I mean to say that it's different is that you had two guys on the team and you could have as many farm players as you liked, but now they've got four guys to choose from. And before they had two guys to choose from. So let's say they had four guys on the farm team and they got, then all four of those guys are on the top team mm-hmm. now. And only the best two were on the top team 20 years ago.
Right.
So that's the difference. You're comparing the top. I think if you pick the top two guys on every team, it would be very, very similar to what we had 20 years ago.
Agreed.
So, of course, thinking about that, then you get a situation like the Tigers had in 2010 when they had Matt Merton and Craig Brazil and Messenger and Standridge, which is probably, may have been the best foreign core of talent ever in a single season.
Mm.
I used to kid them that if Randy talked more, they would be the best. Randy doesn't talk too. He doesn't waste too many words.
All right.
So yeah. Anyway, I think another thing that has changed. This is sort of a little bit off the subject. Is I mentioned it before. Is that had O'Malley been playing now
mm-hmm.
in 1996, the Swallows let him go after he had a .407 on base percentage. If that was
great.
Now, I got a .407 on base percentage, it's like Oryx would be going, come over here. We want you. Oryx yeah. or DNA or somebody would be, let's get that guy.
Yeah.
He's been playing in Japan and he's good. Let's keep him.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, he's probably not any good if the Swallows are trying to get rid of him after he had that good year. He must have some personality issues, which is the way foreign players used to be treated here.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to ask, I did ask him, obviously, about new and up-and-coming guys. And he had already mentioned Ryota Imanari and talking about
right.
his back, the guy who came up as a catcher, and they're trying to convert him and find a position for him because they like his bat.
Right.
And, it's kind of been unfortunate. So he reverted to guys like Yamato Maeda, and then Matt Merton. And I'm like, we know Matt Merton's a really good hitter. He led the league in hits and set or three.
No, Japan. He owns the Japan record for hits in the season.
So,
he did it in 144 games. So that's different.
Yeah. But these are the guys we know. I was looking for somebody we thought, somebody who's on the verge who might be able to break out. So
well,
I guess Imanari is our guy.
Yeah, but you're asking the wrong team because the Tigers really don't use those guys on the farm team who are about to break out as a rule. They're on the first team and you know about them and they've been shouting their names to the press and then they either fail or crash or sometimes they succeed like Toritani. But they don't pick good guys out of their farm team. They usually let them season down there until they're about 30 and past their prime.
Yeah, well, he did mention Yamato, who had a pretty good series to start up the season. He hit .583 against the Giants and had at least two outfield assists. I don't know if he had another one. I wasn't able to see the entire game on Sunday. He might have had another one. He did fairly well last year. I think they're expecting a lot from him. I'm not sure he can deliver, but he was hitting a lot of rockets this weekend and. He's gotten off to a good start, and so has Mauro Gomez for them. He's looks like he's seeing fastballs. But again, those guys, the foreign players who didn't get a lot of at-bats in the spring,
They're
going to go through that testing period where, you know, pitchers are going to try to see what they can handle and what they can't handle. So he might have some success right away. So I wouldn't, if I'm a Hanshin fan, I wouldn't say, okay, well, we know what we've got with this guy. Not quite yet. It's only been 3 games, but it looks like he can handle certain pitches. So they're going to stop there. Look, anything inside and hard, he was hitting down the line and keeping it fair. So I think they're going to stop that fairly soon.
Yeah, that will happen. Of course, with Gomez, he is going to be he's still a bit of a surprise because he came late due to the birth of his child. He stayed in America and he got a lot of guff from the Tigers for that.
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to know how's he going to adjust to Japanese baseball if he's in America taking care of his family and his children? You know, what kind of nonsense is that? And we wouldn't stand for that in Japan. And then he came and he was hurt a lot. So, you know, it was sort of like insult to injury for the Tigers who are concerned. But the Tigers have a lot of injury to insult this week.
Yeah. Well, the pressure is off, I think, on guys like Takahiro Arai and even Ryota Arai. Maybe they'll just be productive little guys on the side. Maybe if Merton is going to hit like this and Gomez is going to be productive, and that can really change the aspect of that lineup and the dynamics in that lineup. And, you know, maybe I'll take back that I forgot what place I gave him, maybe fifth place or fourth place, but maybe I'll take that back. But I don't think so. I think I had him in fourth place. I think that's about where they'll finish, even if those guys do well, because we haven't seen the rest of their rotation. And obviously it's the Giants and they're really good, but they had 27 runs and 47 hits in these 3 games over the weekend. So that just really
very unfortunate to lose a game.
Yeah. And that's just the front end of the Hanshin order, pitching staff. Of course, you know, one of their best pitchers didn't throw in Fujinami. Shintaro Fujinami didn't throw in the series, which didn't make sense to me, but hey.
Well, he's coming off a fairly mediocre spring. I think that's what's going on.
Nobody cares about spring. I'm sorry, no John Gibson cares about spring.
Well, he cares that when it gets to have spring weather, but other than that, pretty much no.
No, yeah, I don't worry about that crap. All right, well, if you're ready to move on, thank you again, Tom, and hope to see you soon, and good luck.
Indeed, Tom. Take care, buddy, and we will talk to you soon. So thanks a lot.
All right, so we had some great opening weekend series, and I know some fans are already making bandwagon decisions right off the bat. It's only been a few games, so relax. Up until Sunday here, my biggest impression from the weekend games was the Saturday game.
You mean I can't predict that the Hawks and the Eagles both go 144-0?
No bandwagon decisions right now. It's just too early. Don't. No. You can't, and you can't predict that, and you won't.
132-12? They got to play each other.
They got to play each other.
They got to split their series.
There you go. But, you know, today we had this nasty collision in the outfield between one of your favorite players, Tsuyoshi Nishioka, and Kosuke.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kuki Dome. One of your favorite players.
Actually, he used to be one of my favorite players, but I think I wrote a story a long time ago about how he doesn't hit off-speed pitches very well and kind of fell out of favor with me because of that. I was surprised he went to the States. I didn't think he was going to be able to do very well anyway. I didn't think he was going to last the season. But anyway, getting back on topic, these guys had a really nasty collision today in the outfield. Kan Ohtake, the new Giants starter, the free agent Giants starter who is making his debut today on Sunday, lofted a ball between right and, it's basically between right and over the, toward first base, toward the line. And Nishioka raced over, and they just didn't communicate. Neither one of them were, I couldn't see anyone saying I got it or back off or anything. And they smashed into each other pretty good. So the latest report that I got, and this is Sunday night in Japan, and I think I checked as late as 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the report from the hospital was that Nishioka had a broken nose, chest contusions, and a mild concussion. And Fukudomi had chest contusions. Nishioka came out of the game right away. In fact, the game was stopped for 25 minutes. I've never seen this. 25 minutes, and then he was taken off the field in an ambulance. They drove the ambulance over to him and put him in it and immobilized his neck and took him out. And he took a tumble on his head. So I thought he had some kind of neck injury anyway, but they said no, that he didn't. And then Fukudomi was grabbing his back, his lower back on his left side, and really looked in some discomfort, but he ended up staying in the game. But they took him out after the fourth inning. This collision occurred in the second inning, and like I said, Kan Ohtake was the batter. He's a pitcher, and two are on, and so he ends up with a triple and two RBIs, and that triple was part of a three-hit day for him in a winning debut, but that stuff was all forgotten because of this collision. And, you know, got me thinking about other collisions, but I couldn't remember any until I talked to you just before we started taping.
One day I remember about, I'm going to say it was 5 years ago, and I was on the desk, and John was at Cebu Dome writing a story. It was early in the season. I'm going to say it was either March or April.
I would say April.
And Gigi Sato of the Lions was playing right field in a similar situation, a pop-up, essentially, between right and second. And he came barreling down, and apparently it was toward the line, too, as I recall. And he just wiped out current Giants second baseman Yasuyuki Kataoka, whose career really took a downward trend after that.
He's
been pretty much hurt all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really basically didn't remember that, and part of the reason was because I think it was more like a truck hitting a Volkswagen, because Gigi Sato is such a big guy.
Sure.
And stocky and just huge, and he was running at full speed, and of course, Kataoka was running out with his eyes on the ball, but I mean, he obviously was looking up. It was just a smash, big thing smashing into a little object, and it wasn't a very fair fight, but these guys, Nishioka is listed at about 86 kilograms, and Fukudomi is listed about 90 kilograms. So they're really close in
still. Yeah, still. I'm really sorry to hear that. And you said, you know, jokingly, Nishioka is my favorite player. I mean, he's not. I don't like the attitude. I don't like a lot of things. But on the other hand, you know, you hate to see that happen to anybody. I don't know how old any grudges against him.
No,
I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So I'm glad that it's just the injuries that he got, because it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. And they were both lucky. And I don't know. I didn't hear about people losing teeth, but anytime you hear about somebody breaking a nose in a collision like that, you have to assume that they got hit in the mouth as well. So, I was watching the game, and I actually had it on at the office, and I didn't see the ball when it was hit, but I happened to glance over as Nishioka was racing out. So I watched the guys collide. And of course, you know, when you see the ball hit, you have some kind of idea of where it's going to go or what direction it's going in. But since I didn't see the ball hit, I didn't think anything about these guys crashing into each other until just about the time that they said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" I think Ohtake was, I'm sorry, I think Fukudome was playing in because Ohtake, the pitcher, was at bat. So he's a little bit closer than usual. And so neither guy, obviously Nishioka should have known that Fukudome was playing in a little bit, and then he didn't have to go back that hard on that ball because it was going to be caught. He would have had the catch. Fukudome would have had the catch easily. But it's unfortunate. Up until that point, I guess the biggest thing in that series was this double play that was botched by Shinosuke Abe, the catcher, on a bases-loaded situation. A bases-loaded no-out grounder in the middle game of that series, and Jose Lopez of the Giants was at first, and he grabbed the ball and he stepped on the bag and fired it down right down to the catcher Abe, who decided he was going to just touch home play. He was going to
He thought a force play was still on.
Putting a force on home plate and threw it back to first. And Lopez is like, "What are you doing?" But the thing that upset me about that play was the TV announcers. Almost immediately, the entire crew was saying, "Well, what is Lopez doing?" And I'm like, "What? Lopez is not doing anything wrong. He did the right thing." And like, Abe like screwed the whole thing up. So I guess afterward, Abe took responsibility for it, and obviously it was his mistake. And that was going to be the biggest thing out of this series until today. So I hope both of those guys get well soon. And the Giants, again, you know, we talked about the runs and the hits that they had in the series. They look pretty strong. But again, no bandwagon decisions off of one series, huh?
Me? No, I would never do that. 132-12. No, not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
All right. And then going to the Carp and Dragon series, the first game, a 3-2 game in extra innings, and then the Carp won the first two of the series. Then they won 6-1 on Saturday. And then when you know the new skipper whose philosophy is you can't lose if you don't give up runs, they get a shutout, 6-0, and that's how he wins his first game as a skipper for Mokunobu Tanishige. So, yeah, I mean, you know, well, the way to go would have been to start Daniel Cabrera in the first game like they should have. I don't know what's going on with that, but he was their best pitcher last year until he got hurt. And I mentioned it on the show last week. I said until he got hurt, he was the best pitcher, and I think they rushed him back, and he was pretty much ineffective after that injury that they rushed him back from. But he was looking the part of an ace today, and you know, 7 innings scoreless, and he was pretty much dominant. So I don't know why he didn't start the first game. You know, Brad Eldred had a good second game, a great second game, if you ask anybody.
A couple home runs,
and I think he had another hit in that. He had at least 3 hits. So and then Kira Kaihue. Oh, I'm going to get that smooth one day.
Yeah,
and he had a home run in that game, in that middle game, and they won 6-1. And they beat Hitoki Iwase in the opener in extra innings to win that game. So they look good. Kikuchi, a guy we both like, Ryosuke Kikuchi. Looked really good, and he's the guy who got the game-winning hit in the first game. So that was a good series. Good series for both teams, actually, because I'm not really expecting that much from the Dragons, and they won a game. And the Carp, I'm expecting a lot out of, and they played like the team that they, a lot of us expect them to be.
Well, I have a question for you, is how many of those games did Tanishige catch?
Well, he caught the opener.
And he caught the second game, so he didn't catch today. So he's 1-0 as a manager and 0-2 as a player manager.
Yes, but he pinch hit today and hit into another double play. So
he can always do that.
He needs help to get this double play. But he's not looking good at the plate. But I'm sure he thinks he can play his way out of it, just like any manager. Manager.
Make up your mind. What is he? I'm a player, I'm a manager, I'm a player, I'm a manager.
I don't think he knows.
Which is it? Okay. So, moving along to the next series, we had kind of an interesting series in Jingu. It was sort of like, can you top that? The first one was a lot of good things happened for the Swallows in the first game, and I guess the signature moment was Naomichi Nishiura.
Yes, the rookie.
The rookie who got the start at shortstop for the Swallows and then capped a big inning with a 3-run homer in his first at bat. So, wow.
Well, not only that, he became the first rookie in NPB history to hit a home run on the first pitch that was thrown to him.
On opening day. I think some guys have hit the first pitch. But on opening day, the first rookie who made his debut on opening day and hit the first pitch he saw for a home run. That's pretty impressive. But again, Johnny LeMaster did that too. And he was a horrible player. I don't mean to pick on Johnny LeMaster. He wasn't a good hitter. He just happened to hit a home run in his first at bat.
Yeah, well, he tormented my Dodgers for years, so...
I wish we could have sent him to you so he could have tormented you even more.
Wow, thank you.
So that was kind of interesting, and the Swallows came out in game two and didn't look like much, and they're the Swallows and the Bay Stars, so I think that's enough said about those two teams.
Okay, let's move along to the Pacific League and congratulate the Eagles, who look pretty good.
I would say they look very good.
Well, it's still early, but they got a sweep in Cebu, at Cebu Dome against the Lions, and it's the first time in 35 years that the Lions have started the season 0-3, but I still see no reason to panic. That's a good team that they're playing. Maybe the surprise was today that they didn't get very much going against Karashima, but he was a good pitcher before he got injured, so... It's no shock that he came back and pitched well this time. But the thing is, in that series, there were two pitchers who were coming back from injuries who pitched well against the Lions. That probably is not very fun for the Lions.
Well, yeah, well, yes, that has happened with the Eagles, and overall they looked pretty good. They played pretty good defense. The Lions, I was at the, I was at opening night, and I thought, gosh, okay, now one of the things, one of the players the Lions got, the Lions lost a pair of free agents over the winter, and they took a compensation, a relief pitcher, middle reliever from the Marines for losing Hideaki Wakui, and they took, in exchange for losing their second baseman, they took the Giants' second baseman, Ryota Wakia. And, now here's the thing is last year's RBI leader. Now, I was talking to our beat reporter the other day, the Kyoto beat writer at Sabo, and he said, no, Ihara has decided that his middle infield, his double play combination is going to be second baseman Hideto Asamura, who was the Pacific League RBI leader last year at first base. That's not like a big jump for Asamura. He started as a shortstop, and he played his, he came up, he turned pro as a shortstop. And
yeah, he's pretty much all over that infield.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically third, second, short, and first. And then, he filled in when Kataoka was, one of the times when Kataoka was hurt, he filled in at second, and he started his pro, career essentially as a substitute second baseman for the Lions. And now they moved him to first base because they had no place else to play him.
Right.
And then they were going to give him shortstop to him last year, and that lasted about a week. I don't even know if it got out of the spring. He just looked very uncomfortable. So this year they said Ihara, who's another one who's defense first manager. He's kind of an old throwback guy. He's one of those guys that's sort of like Taneshiga. You know, if you don't score any run, if you don't allow any runs, you won't lose. And Ihara is more like, if you don't make any mistakes, the other team will make mistakes and you'll win.
Yeah.
It's one of those, that's the real old style Japanese baseball. We're here not to make mistakes.
Right.
So, anyway, so he's decided, however, he's going to stick with Asamura at second and, Yuji Kaneko, shortstop. Kaneko played a lot of time at short last year. He looks, his fielding looks pretty good. His hitting, John's not sold on yet.
He's gotten better as a fielder, yeah. The hitting
right.
Will come
he started red hot, but that's another story. Okay, anyway. So, who's going to play first base? Well, it looks like it's going to be a platoon. And in game one, it was Ryota Wakia, who's a very, you know, he's a pretty good second baseman. And he was a clutch hitter extraordinaire for the Giants last year. Whenever it seemed like whenever they put him in the game, he had a big hit,
yep.
Which is not true. But he had his share.
Yeah.
He had his share of highlight reel moments with the Giants. So here he is. You have to have a lot of faith in the defensive ability of a guy who's a very good third baseman and a very good second baseman to put him at first. An older guy who's been beaten up and doesn't hit a lot. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I wasn't sure about the uniform thing when I heard about Ihara, and a lot of people have been talking about it this off season.
Oh, the
about,
socks?
Yeah, about the socks and you know,
everybody's got their socks up.
And I'm like, you know, if you're worried about stuff like that, then there's other things to worry about. I'm sure.
You would think.
Yeah, and so I'm not impressed already. And like I said, no time to make bandwagon decisions, but you might want to look and see who's driving to see if you want to stay on or not.
Well. We'll see.
You'll have to see.
What I saw was Friday was Kishi looked, he looked pretty good. I mean, he wasn't quite the Kishi we knew from a few years ago when he was smoking, but he changed speeds incredibly well. He was very deceptive. His command was not that good, but because he was changing speeds so much and mixing up his slider and his curve, he threw a slow curve and a slider and a changeup with his fastball, that he was throwing, you know, he was mislocating his changeup and his slider way up in the zone. I mean, just really, just like on a tee, but guys couldn't time it because they were all messed up. So he was able to get out of a number of jams. But, you know, the Eagles look like a pretty good hitting team, a pretty good fielding team. And I think, not so far so good. We'll say that.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. With Kishi, you know, I don't know that he was the opening day starter material. I was kind of expecting to see some other guys. And then I saw Ken Togami throw in the ninth inning today. So it looks like he's not going to start. And, you know, he had Nogami, I think, was going to start. I'm wondering if Nishiguchi is going to be called upon to start. And
we pitched in relief the other day, so, and on a Saturday I was watching him pitch in relief. So.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going on. Masuda, I'm expecting him to start at some point. So I still think that these guys can play through whatever kind of weirdness happens with the manager, but because I think they have talent. But the Eagles were just too good in this series. But, I mean, it's just one series. It's just one week.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I had a short chat with Brian Falkenberg, who's now with the Eagles and formerly of the Hawks, but I'll mention that next week because it'll be as relevant next week as this week. And, talk about the Hawks. I didn't see any of the Hawks games. I just looked at the numbers in the series and, the Hawks pretty much blew them out from start to finish until today. When they played a close one.
That's another team, and we both picked them to win, and they looked the part in the whole series. Even when they were down by a few runs, they were getting so many guys on base, you just felt like it was a matter of time before they, you know, either at least pushed somebody home and got the game even or whatever. But in the first game, it was an 11-5 blowout, and then they won 5-2 in the middle game and then 3-2 on Sunday, and you know, Dennis Sarfate saving the games as I thought he should be. I guess maybe somebody was listening to me down there because they didn't put Igarashi back there.
Well, yeah, he was good. And I think the Hawks are just loaded. So I don't think we need to add anything to that.
It's no surprise what they did.
The Marines, unfortunately, Seiya Inoue didn't tear up the Hawks the way they've been tearing up the preseason. So I'd give them some time.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to have, the Hawks are going to have a deep pitching staff. It's not going to be that easy to beat him up, but he got his first hit out of the way early, I believe, and he looks like he's going to be fine. I just, like I said in the preseason, I don't expect him to be that much of an impact player where he's going to turn that lineup around, but he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be terrible. You know, there is one thing though, he does have a hitch in his swing. And Lee Deho has the same kind of hitch in his swing, so it's not impossible to get through with it. But, you know, when you're talking about guys who've been pitching a while and have some experience as opposed to a first-year player, if they find a hole or find a way to attack him with that hitch in his swing, it could be bad for him. But
yeah,
I think he'll be fine.
It'll take him a little longer to come around and figure out a way to get around it. So
right. Okay, the Buffaloes and the Fighters, that was a good series. The Fighters winning 2 out of 3 there. That's kind of no surprise. The surprise was for Brandon Dixon pitching a shutout in the second inning.
Brandon Dixon does the first 3 or 4. Well, he doesn't throw shutouts all the time, but
no.
I'm saying last year he was, I think, 4-0, and he was 4-0. He was in a Brian Bullington 4-0, and I say that Brian Bullington, you talk to him, he says, yeah, I win all the games I pitch badly, and I lose the games I pitch well. In 4 games when he could have easily been 0-4.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case on Saturday.
Yeah, Brandon pitched the Saturday, the middle game in that series, and you know, I kept expecting, this is what I expected to happen because this is what I saw last year, is that whenever he got into trouble, or he and Alessandro Maestri, whenever they got into trouble, they got yanked quick. The hook was so quick for these guys, and Dixon got into trouble here and there, but they left him out there. They left him alone. He got out of trouble, and he ends up finishing the thing off. I mean, we saw the 133-pitch opener for Takahiro Norimoto of the Eagles, and that was just kind of nutty.
Well, Hoshino wanted to pull him out, but then he figured, well, my bullpen blew a bunch of games for him last year, so I'll let him finish it. But that was weird. I mean, it was weird. It's like you gotta. Hoshino's getting this routine where he's letting the pitchers push him around a little bit.
Well, yeah.
You get that thing? You get that feeling? Like, If the pitcher says, I want the ball, Hoshi's going, great, you know, good, good for you. Ruin your arm. See what happens.
Yeah, I was a pitcher. I can tell you. There were lots of times where I wanted to go and the manager wouldn't let me go. I don't know about that, but I don't know about pushing him around, but I did see the interview where Noni Moto said, yeah, I told him I wanted to go out for the ninth inning. And I'm like, dude, it's not even a shutout situation. Just call it a day. But anyway, just four hits for four hitter for Brandon Dixon. And, you know, he let off an infield single in the fourth and then a leadoff single in the sixth. And then I thought, you know, they're going to go get him, and they didn't get him. And then he had a 1-2-3 seventh and then two runners on in the eighth. And I thought, okay, for sure they're going to go get him now. And they left him out. He got out of the inning.
Well, they used every pitcher on the first team and the farm team on Friday night. So how many choice?
Oh, I guess it was he had to play the role of ace.
Well, yeah, he was going to be ostensibly their rejuvenated ace, got the start today, and I think he lasted a third of an inning.
Yeah, Keigawa, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he pitched the whole first inning. I don't know. I just looked, I tweeted something, and when I realized it was wrong, I went to erase it, and someone had already said, hey, Keigawa's out of the game. I'm like, yeah, I was just erasing that.
<'Cause> you were just putting those starting lineups, and he was already gone.
I thought it was still him, but yeah.
Well, let's see, what else is gone? I guess the interesting one is that Willie Mopeña's looking, as he did in the springtime, he's looking like Willie Mopeña of the best nine, Pacific League best nine DH, Willie Mopeña.
Circa 2012, I guess.
Yep, and I guess the other one, my guy, Haruki Nishikawa is hitting well. My not favorite second baseman, but my favorite hitter, and my other favorite hitter, who's a Shohei Ohtani, is hitting well. So
yeah, I know he had two doubles in the first game. Did he double anymore? I didn't see anything.
Got one today.
So yeah, what a good start. It's a good start for the Fighters. Again, I don't know why they would start Yuki Saito in the second game of the season. I just had to laugh.
I think that's sort of like, we got him, you know, he's keen to use him. So,
Do you think it was like, hey, look, this is a now or never situation. We're going to throw you out there this time. And, you know, I hear these announcers talk about this injury that he supposedly had last year. And I'm like, okay, all right, you can sell that. I'm not buying it. But you can sell it. I mean, you can go on the street and try to get somebody to pay for money for that. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, he's out there. He didn't pitch awful. He wasn't awful. Yeah, he just made the kind of mistakes a mediocre pitcher makes to lose a game. And even the manager said his stuff wasn't bad. He just didn't make pitches when he had to. And I'm like, that's the point.
That's been his problem. Well, the problem being that his stuff ain't that. You know, it's his stuff is halfway decent when it's at his best. He's got to be so good all the time, and he's just, I don't know, he just hasn't been there since his first year in college. I don't want to go on talking about Yuki Saito any longer.
Yeah, it's kind of painful. It's kind of painful.
Yep. So,
but good start for them. Nothing too unexpected. I'm waiting to see what the rest of their rotation is going to be. We're only through half of the rotation. I heard a lot of people saying that some guys won't have to throw. They can skip that last guy possibly with this first rotation through, you know, the first time through. But, you know, with the rain out today with the Swallows and the Bay Stars, that's going to help both of those teams.
Yeah, those guys probably are thinking maybe if we keep getting rain outs, we might get another draft choice. between now and we get time, we got to go. Got to expand our roster a little bit or something. Get some help.
All right, so there are no questions this week. I did want to talk about the picks from our colleagues, from among our colleagues. Wayne Grassick, the Japan Times columnist, he's got the Giants, Carp, Swallows, Tigers, and Bay Stars and Dragons. And that's similar to what you and I had, except he's got the Swallows third, which is exactly how you had it. Giants, Carp, Swallows is exactly what you had, right?
I don't remember who I had fourth and fifth, but it was Tigers and Bay Stars, one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you had, but I can't remember either. And then in the Pacific League, he's got the Hawks, Eagles, Marines, and then Lions, Buffaloes, Fighters.
I think I had the Buffaloes fourth. Yeah. Okay.
And then Jason Cosby of the Japan Times, he's got the Giants, Carp, and then Tigers, Swallows, Bay Stars, Dragons.
Okay.
And so that was pretty much almost what I had. So if I had the Bay Stars finishing third, and then I had the Swallows finishing last with the Dragons fifth. And then in the Pacific League, he's got Hawks, Eagles, Marines, Lions, Buffaloes, Fighters.
Same as Wyatt.
And what about you?
Well, same as I had. Oh, no, like I said, Buffaloes, I had the Buffaloes, Lions in fourth and fifth.
Yeah, so those two guys are pretty much right on, exactly the same. Now, our writer and blogger and friend in Toronto, Claudio, he had the Giants, Carp, and Dragons, Bay Stars, Tigers, and Swallows. And I asked him, I said, you know, the Dragons didn't really do that much. What is it that made you think that they're going to go? Because he had them finishing last year.
Okay.
And I said, what made you think that they were going to go from sixth place to third place? And he kind of explained that on the homepage. So if you want to go and take a look at that and see what he said. I didn't think they made enough changes. I just know that if Cabrera is healthy, he's got to be their ace if Yoshimiya is not back. And I still contend that I don't like the fact that the manager is the catcher and the catcher is the manager. And, yeah, I just don't see it working out. But I didn't have him finishing last because I had him figured they'd be able to score some more runs this year. But it looks like if the lineup that the manager has put out there for the first series is what he's going to go with as long as they're healthy, I don't think they're going to score very many runs at all.
You're saying he could be the shortstop manager. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. In the Pacific League, Claudio has the Hawks, Eagles, Fighters, and then Marines, Lions, Buffaloes. So
far, everybody – where did you have the Eagles, John?
I had the Eagles finishing second. So
everybody's got the Giants and Carp 1-2 and the Hawks, Eagles 1-2.
Yep.
And, so far.
Yeah. And the Fighters, again, I didn't ask Claudio about this, but the Fighters did finish last. I did ask him about why he had the Fighters finishing in third after they finished last year. So you can read that string, that thread too on the homepage. But basically he was saying
that
they basically have the same guy as they did when they went to the Japan series. So they should be okay. And I'm like, all right. So, Dave Houston, your colleague of Kyoto News, also sent his picks in, and he has the Tigers winning the Central League.
Wow.
With the Giants second, the Carp third, then the Swallows, Dragons, and Bay Stars back in last place. I think that's a little Yokohama hate.
Dave spent some time in Osaka, and that leaves a mark on you. So.
I think that's a little Bay Star bias right there is what that is. No, you don't think so?
I don't know.
I don't see them finishing in last place. I mean, yeah, the manager can impact the game and probably have a negative impact on what the talent level is over there, but I still don't see last place. But that, you know, we have to see how it plays out. But the Tigers in first place, that's a shocker.
The competition for last place has been very severe the last couple of years for the Central League. It's going to take a special effort. You know, you need either lots of injuries, or a lot of stupidity, or both.
So you're saying a special kind of stupidity like the Bay Stars have as the manager?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, pretty much. And but also injuries and or lack of talent. So it takes an extra effort. Not just anybody can finish last in the Central League. You know, it was a pretty tough competition for that.
Yeah, work at it.
So what are his Dave's picks in the Pacific League?
In the Pacific League, he's got the Eagles winning it all again. And the Hawks finishing second with the Marines grabbing that last playoff spot. And then he's got the Lions, Fighters, and Buffaloes. And I think a lot of us are picking the Buffaloes to finish last.
A lot of us? How many people have picked the Buffaloes to finish last besides you and Dave? The answer is nobody.
Well, I mean, a lot of us in the...
Yeah. Okay, 50-50.
Okay, but a lot of us meaning... I watched a lot of TV programs and I read the newspapers, and a lot of people are picking the Buffaloes to finish last.
Well, most people just pick more or less the same order as last year. So, I mean,
yes, a lot of times they do.
That's to be given. It never works. It rarely works out that way. But the fact is, some of those teams finished where they were because that's that's the talent level in the organization. That's probably, I'd say, a third or a fifth of the teams are in that category. So anyway, so it will be interesting. It's still interesting. We're three games into the season, so 141 to go, 142 for the Baystars
guys.
Swallows fans.
Now, one other note I wanted to mention was the Seiya Aja Inoue of the Marines. Now, when I mentioned on the show at the time that I had heard why he was called Aja, but had forgotten, we got some notes. I got a direct email from one of the listeners, and I got a couple of notes. And as I said, I heard about it earlier this year in the spring, but I had forgotten. I don't know if he wants to be called this. I read that he wants to be called this, and I also read that people started calling him this. So I didn't know which one was more factual.
Well, both.
Yeah, both is what I'm putting out there. But that he wanted to be called Aja because he has a likeness to the pro wrestler Aja Kong. And she was recently on TV here in Japan because she was in a tuna toss event in Australia. Did you see that?
Well, that's, well, I, you know, I missed that. When is that, when is that going to be a rebroadcast?
I don't know. No, it wasn't live, obviously, but it was
tuna toss.
Yeah, the tuna toss. Yeah, it was really funny. It was a maguro nage. Yeah.
The
tuna toss.
That should be, I think NHK is going to be showing that at 3 a.m. Catch up on the
And she did okay. She did okay in the
How
she didn't win. I don't remember, you know, like I wasn't really paying attention.
I'll have to check the sports papers.
But anyway, he's much better looking than she is. So I think with or without the makeup, I think he should get rid of that nickname.
Well,
you're better than that, dude. You're better than that.
He's a good natured fella. You gotta love that.
All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed the trivia question. I think Jim's going to come up with one next week.
Yeah, I'm angry now. I don't know how to get the upper hand on trivia.
Angry? Why are you so angry? Relax,
Oh,
sir.
I'm motivated is what I am. I'm motivated.
Okay, well, anger can be motivation, I suppose.
Man, you got my dander up.
I don't want to do that. But anyone else, if you can think of a trivia question or something you'd like to have us look up, and we can try. We might not be able to find it, but we can try. All right, so send your questions or trivia notes to yakyujohn@gmail.com, or you can leave us a note on the Facebook page, and we'll get back to you. Look for us on iTunes. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I don't know if I'll see you, but hopefully you'll hear from us.
All right. Enjoy your baseball.
Ciao.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.